Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to dive into the World Series as it starts tonight, as we have the surging Tampa Bay Rays taking on Cody Bellinger and the Dodgers. So we'll have predictions and analysis there. We're also going to talk some NFL and how even though COVID cases are surging in the NFL. The NFL continues to power on. And so even though I guess the Tennessee Titans don't get it, they're able to run the ball with Derrick Henry, so all is forgotten there in Tennessee. And of course we have our Week 6 Fichtner Cup preview, or overview I should say, with a Week 7 preview for next week. So lots to talk about today. Let's get started. So the journey starts for two teams tonight in the Tampa Bay Rays and the LA Dodgers as they both compete to win a World Series. The Dodgers, this is the third year out of four that they've made it to the World Series. They've yet to win any of those so far. So they're, you can say that they're due. Dodgers are due. But unfortunately, Dodgers, that doesn't matter because you're going up against a Rays team that just frankly doesn't care. Their team is playing with house money. They're hot. They're energetic. And they play with heart. And they're a team that does not make defensive mistakes. That is not a team that you want to go up against to win the World Series. Yeah, the Dodgers are heavy favorites. But the Rays have been doubted all season. They had the best record in the American League. And still nobody thought that they'd make it to the World Series. You know, people still thought the Yankees would, the Astros would. Well, the Rays beat them both. And they look pretty good doing it. They were up 3-0 against the Astros. The Astros come roaring back to tie it at 3. The last team to come back from 3-0 and win it was the Boston Red Sox in 04. And Curt Schilling, bloody sock, Big Poppy slams. You know, the classic Mariano Rivera blown save for the Yankees. Everyone's like, is this the Astros? No one wants to see the Astros do that. And the Rays put a stop to that. They got their shit together in Game 7 with Charlie Morton on the bump. And they got it done. They beat the Astros 4-2 on Saturday. Led behind Charlie Morton's zero-run performance. And led by none other than Randy Arozarena, who has 7 home runs in the postseason. 7. I did not know who this guy was. I don't think anybody knew who this guy was going into the playoffs. And he has been the hottest hitter I have ever seen in the postseason. He, you know, in his last 7 games has, you know, 6 hits, 6 runs, 2 homers, 3 RBIs. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's unreal. And during the whole postseason, okay, he has 21 hits, 7 home runs, 10 RBIs. I mean, this guy is for real. You know, he has, you know, he doesn't care what pitcher is throwing to him. He gets hits. I've ever seen him get out. Every time I, you know, turn on the game, he's always getting hits, dingers. And they're growing up a guy in Clayton Kershaw who last time, you know, in a game where the Dodgers needed to win, being down 2-1, he did not show up. You know, he got rocked by the Braves, where then the Dodgers went down 3-1, were able to come back against the Braves for a 4-3 series win. So the Dodgers are definitely hot. Okay, so it's two teams right now that are playing good baseball. It's going to be an unbelievable series. in my opinion. I think it's definitely going 6-7 games. I don't... If I had to pick right now... You know what? Let's take it game by game. All right? I'm not trying to make a serious prediction here right off the bat. I don't know yet. But for game one... Okay, game one is tonight. We have Tyler Glasnow going for the Tampa Bay Rays against Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. I'm going to take the house money. I'm going to take Tyler Glasnow and the Rays to take game one. It's tough for me from seeing what I've seen from Kershaw in his last few postseason starts. Just to give me... Yeah, he pitched a gem against the Brew Crew in the first game. That's, you know, that's the best, last time I've seen him pitch a great game. But other than that, you know, I have not seen anything that, you know, shows me that he's going to be clutch tonight. And I love Glasnow. I think he's a beast. And the Rays, I think, are like plus 150 right now. So I'm hopping on the Rays train. I'm taking the Rays to take game one. And we're just going to leave it at that. I don't know what's going to happen from there on out. But Rays take game one. And I'm calling that Randy Arozarena has something to do with it. I think he's going to have a big hit, either a home run or a big RBI. So, Rays take game one. I'm going to say 5-2. 5-2 Rays. That's what I'm going with. 5-2 Rays. So, the COVID cases in the NFL have skyrocketed since, you know, the first 3 weeks. Everyone was like, oh, I guess, you know, COVID's not affecting the NFL. They're doing a good job. Well... Yeah, some people are doing a good job. Some teams are. But some teams, not so much. The Tennessee Titans recently, the last 2 or 3 weeks, have seen 20-plus COVID cases. They've had to move their games back to as late as Tuesday during the week. They played the Buffalo Bills last weekend on Tuesday because of COVID. They weren't able to practice all week because they had to close down the facility. They're actually, you know, everyone was asking, oh, are they going to get in trouble for... Because obviously some of them weren't following the, you know, the COVID guidelines. And, you know, there's very minimal punishments done for the Titans. So little that I haven't even heard what was, you know, the punishment. So they pretty much got a slap on the wrist. The Patriots, Cam Newton and company and Stephon Gilmore both got COVID. So that really affected their performance on Sunday when they played the Denver Broncos, who... really took it to them. Yeah, the Broncos didn't score a touchdown, but they got 6 field goals. They won 18-12, most Denver Broncos score I've ever seen. But obviously, since the Pats weren't able to practice last week, definitely affected their play. They did not look like the normal Patriots that I've seen. Really just not be able to get it done on offense. Still had a chance to come back. You know, they had a couple huge interceptions at the end of the game. But Cam Newton with some inaccurate throws at the end of the game, not able to get it done. But... So COVID definitely taking, you know, its course to the NFL right now. You know, some people have offered, you know, maybe they should just have a bubble. But, you know, health doctors said it's not a good idea. Just because of how many players are on each team. It'd be tough to put that together. I think they're just going to have to ride it out. You know, this is a scenario where, you know what? 5 weeks down the line, if COVID is just out of control during this, you know, winter/fall, then I guess they might just have to shut it down potentially, which sucks to say. I am the last person that wants that. You know, I'm in 7 fantasy football leagues. You know, I'm competing this year. So, you know, it really sucked for a season to get, you know, canceled or whatnot. So I'm not going there. I'm just saying, you know, the NFL's been able to contain it. You know, nothing, you know, they've had a couple canceled games where they've just turned into bye weeks and they've been able to play the next week. But what happens to a team like the Patriots who has another outbreak, you know, and there's no room for them to cancel another game? Like, what are they going to do? I think that they're going to figure it out because someone like Nick Saban got COVID on like a Wednesday or a Thursday, and he was able to coach on that Saturday. So, I mean, he did test negative 3 tests in a row, 3 or 4 tests, and he was able to coach versus Georgia. But at the same time, I mean, obviously... You know, if someone gets COVID, you know, they have to lock down a facility most likely. You know, and, you know, they're not always going to be able to play. But, I mean, they're finding a way to play. No one really knows what other rules are. Because I've seen so many, you know, I get an alert. Oh, so-and-so has COVID on so-and-so team. And then they're like, oh, false negative. So whatever that means. So I guess they just, you know, have bad tests, or they just, you know, they tested positive one day, the next day they don't have it anymore. So very hard to tell what's going to happen. So we just got to take it day by day as, you know, sports fans and analysis, because there's really nothing else you can do. You know, root for your teams every Sunday. Really don't take for granted every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday that you can watch sports. I guess Tuesday now too, because the COVID makeup dates, because you never know when it's going to be taken away from you. So really cherish just the fact that we're even having the NFL season. I know I do, because, you know, it's really helping me, you know, just stay sane in this world. But let's hope going forward that teams, you know, people have come out and be like, hey, just follow the guidelines. You know, NFL players, follow the guidelines, and you should be fine. Which, you know, I agree with. You know, if you're, you know, not gathering with other people, you're staying at, you know, at your, you know, at your crib, you know, just stay low key for us, and we'll get through this. But I mean, I understand, you know, life goes on in a sense, but at the same time, no, do your job as a citizen and an NFL player and follow the COVID guidelines so we can get through this together.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hey?
So my Riddle's rant of the week this week goes out to the New England Patriots. So I'm in this Survivor League with my buddy Ethan Holman. It's his cousin's work league. So it was just me, Holman, and Coughlin are the only people I knew, along with Holman's aunt and cousin. So I knew five of the people out of like the 48 people that were in it. It was a $40 buy-in, winner take all. So the pot is just around $2,000. Okay, so I've made it so everyone gets two lives, and you can only pick one team, you know, total. So, like, if you pick the Packers 1 week, you can't pick them for the rest of the season. So it's tough. You know, it's starting to get to the witching hour here, as I like to say a lot. Hashtag Scott Hansen. Because now you're starting to have to strategize a little bit. But, so last week, you know, I haven't gotten a strike yet. Holman and Coughlin actually had one strike. And we all rode the Patriots. So RIP to Coughlin and Ethan for the Survivor run, because the Patriots screwed us. They lost to the Broncos, like I said earlier, 18-12. Just looked awful. Obviously, us not doing our research, the fact that they had, you know, COVID outbreaks on their team, so they weren't practicing all week. And then I guess that Bill Belichick can't beat the Denver Broncos because they lose to them a fair amount, which is, wow, I should have just looked at that. But we did it. You know, we should have taken the Miami Dolphins against the New York Jets, which was our second, you know, Holman actually was like, oh, should we take the Fins? And I kind of talked him out of it. So I kind of put this one on me, as I just, you know, I didn't want to lose a strike, you know, betting on the Jets. Or not the Jets, the Dolphins. But at the same time, that was the easiest pick I've ever seen, as the Jets lost 24-0 and couldn't get a first down until, or couldn't convert off a third down until the fourth quarter. Actually, both teams were like 1-for-20. So it was kind of a shitty game, but the Dolphins definitely were the better team here. My God, Fitzmagic is Fitzmagic. And they were not losing to the Jets. I don't think anybody can beat the Jets. Or what am I saying? Anyone can lose to the Jets. And so, especially with the Miami Dolphins, because they really showed that, okay, they're not that bad. And the Jets showed, wow, we are the worst team in the league. So I, you know, I'm still alive. I have one strike, so I'm thankful for that. You know, that's not why I'm ranting. But I'm ranting, you know, for us as a squad. You know, I was planning, me, Holman, and Coughlin were trying to make it to the promised land together. So I guess it's just going to have to be me that, you know, takes it home for the boys. Not saying that they're, you know, yeah, I'm sure they're rooting for me, but, you know, they wanted the $2,000 too. So it's not like they're like, you know, praying that I make it, but at the same time, I'm trying to represent. So I'm taking the Green Bay Packers this week. You know, it's funny, I used them in my example in the beginning of this segment, but they're playing the Texans, coming off a loss. You don't want to go up against Aaron Rodgers. The Texans coming off a terrible loss to the Titans. They had them. Romeo Crennel decides to go for two to, you know, go for the win, essentially. They don't get it. Henry takes over. Man, Henry, huge 90-plus yard run. Had a couple of huge runs at the end of the game, winning it for the Titans. So, you know, Texans had definitely have some low morale right now. I think Green Bay is going to go in after getting slapped by Buccaneers to give the Texans a beatdown. So I'm taking the Packers this week. You know, I strategize looking forward, and I'm liking the Packers this week. And I think that I've definitely been strategizing, but I'm taking it 1 week at a time. So it's the Green Bay Packers for now. But at the end of the day, fuck the Patriots. They suck.
GeForce Spotlight of the Week.
My GeForce Spotlight of the Week this week goes out to the 5-1 Chicago Bears as they take down the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. A surging Carolina Panthers team who's won 3 in a row despite the absence of Christian McCaffrey. And so I want to give a shout out to the Bears as I haven't talked too much about them on the pod. I feel like that's because I don't want to jinx them. It's not because I just don't care. It's because, you know what? It's the beginning of the season. And you know what? They had a couple crazy wins in the beginning of the year. So I guess I wasn't totally sold on the Bears. You know, everyone's like, oh, who's the biggest pretender, you know, 3-0 team? And, you know, a lot of people said the Bears, and I didn't want to believe it, but after losing to the Indianapolis Colts that 1 week, you know, in kind of a crappy fashion, I was like, oh, man, the Bears. But they come right back and beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Teddy Bridge and the Carolina Panthers. And just like that, the Bears are in the playoff hunt for the rest of the season. So they have a tough schedule coming up with the Rams on Monday night next week and the Saints and the Titans. So this is going to be a big test for the Bears the next few weeks. If they can get one win out of those three, I'd be happy. You know, the Bears being 6-3, you know, I would never see the day. Even when if they win 2 out of those 3, oh man, that's just something right there. But the Bears have my respect. They've always had my respect, but at the end of the day, I just wasn't sold on, I guess, the quarterback situation, but Nick Foles is kind of running on in there, but he's done great. The defense has been incredible. And I give Nagy some credit. You know, everyone hates on Nagy, but you know, him and Chuck Pagano on the sidelines, you know, it's been a good duo this year so far. You know, it's a team that, you know, is confident now. They aren't afraid of anybody, and with a good defense led by Khalil Mack, you can really compete against anybody. I think that's what they're showing this year. So last year the defense, you know, was there, but the offense wasn't. So you know, they definitely diminished down the stretch. Hopefully this year, you know, the Bears are going to come out and shock people, because I'm on the Bears train, because now, you know, they have a kicker in Cairo Santos, so adios Eddie Pinheiro. So, you know, any 50-yard clutch kick on the stretch, I believe in Cairo Santos. So, the Bears have the tools right now. Let's see if they can keep them moving. We keep them moving. Rah! So, my flick of the week this week is kind of a throwback. Not by too much, but about a year. The Travis Scott documentary on Netflix. Ugh! That's like one of my favorite series ever. I'm a huge Travis Scott fan. And for those that know me, know that. And he came out with a Netflix documentary last year on just, you know, a lot of footage of his concerts, you know, his behind-the-scenes creations of his albums like Astroworld. It even took an inside, you know, VIP access scoop when he was, you know, at the Grammys trying to win, you know, Album of the Year and Song of the Year. So really cool, kind of inspiring, you know, documentary, you know, with the guy, like, you know, who didn't have a lot growing up. And now, yeah, he's a big baller, you know, but he's a great performer on stage. You know, he works hard at it. And it's cool to see where someone gets their music from. And, you know, and he's a big, you know, a big squad he has. So, you know, he keeps, you know, all his friends, managers, you know, they're all on one team together. So, you know, it's cool that he has that background. Yeah, obviously, I don't know a lot about his social life, but he seems like a pretty inspiring guy. He just came out, you know, McDonald's had, you know, the Travis Scott burger. So he's out there in promotions. So he's doing his thing. It's still, you know, on Netflix right now. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. You'll probably be a Travis Scott fan by the end of it. For the bet of the week this week, I'm definitely not going back to baseball. As last week, I picked the Dodgers. They got killed. I picked the Rays to win earlier in my podcast. So that's kind of like my sneak peek bet tonight. But I'm not using baseball for my bet of the week. We're going to change it over to college football. Arkansas State were 10.5 point favorites yesterday against Appalachian State. Kind of a gross game. But both teams put up points. I know Arkansas State does, as they put up about 60 points against Georgia State last week. I believe they're almost 12.5 point favorites now. I'm taking the points for Arkansas State. I think they have a high enough offense that they can, you know, I'm not sure if they get the dub. I think they're plus 310 because Appalachian State is pretty good and they're home. But if they're given anywhere from 10 to 12 points, it's a lot of points for a team that likes to put up points. So I'm taking the plus 10.5 for Appalachian or for Arkansas State. I think they get it done in that retrospect, and I think they're going to score. So Appalachian State plus 10.5, book it. It is now time for the Week 6 Fichtner Cup overview for the best team or best league in the land. It was a very exciting week as the Saloons have finally taken their first loss, handed by none other than the Dotson Bailouts. Mr. Kleinhans, after starting off the season 0-1, has rattled off 5 wins in a row. It's something you love to see from a competitor, as you know, a team that was ranked number 1 in the power rankings has a tough first loss, goes down all the way to 6 in the power rankings, and then comes storming back, beating the number 1 team in the power rankings and taking a 5-1 record. Kleinhans, it was an honor doing business with you this week. It was a battle. I will see you in the playoffs, my friend. Unless we play again. When's the next... Oh, you know what? Actually, nope. I will not see the Bailouts again. That's my one matchup against the Bailouts this year. So, yes, the Bailouts. I will see you in the playoffs. Going to be a good ride. But let's get into... So, let's start off with that matchup this week. The Bailouts getting 120.24 victory over the Saloons. 112.52. It was a grind-out week for the both of us, with Dak Prescott going down for the Bailouts, has to scramble, and he picks up Fitzmagic, you know, giving him a nice 16-point boost. Ronald Jones, really the X-factor in this matchup, giving him 25 in the flex, you know, 2 touchdowns, 113 yards. Tampa Bay really took it to Green Bay, really affecting how Aaron Jones played out for me. He luckily got a 1-yard touchdown after Aaron Rodgers' rushing touchdown was denied. So kind of a rough week for the Saloons. Kittle having a good week, 20.4. Kyler Murray balling out on Monday night. I was needing him to give me a few more points to get to eke out a W, but 28.92, cannot complain with that. Pittsburgh D for me, 19, giving me a spark, but the story here is Marvin Jones and the flex, you know, being forced to start with Alvin Kamara and Devin and Metcalf on bye. So really had to stretch it there. Giving me 1.8, that's just not going to cut it in this league. So tough week for me with byes, but no excuses here. Always a next man up mentality. So good win for the Bailouts here, as they're proving that they're a top team in the league. And then they're competing for a cup this year. So it was an honor battling out with one of the best in the league. You know, 2 weeks for the Saloons in a row, taking on Lebo at 4-0 last week and the Bailouts at 4-1. This week, you know, really 2 tough battles in a row for the Bailouts, or for the Saloons, I should say, and happy to get 1 win there. Looking to rebound next week against Big Sam, though. So I'm humbled to, you know, finally get a loss. You know, I feel like I was due. But it's, you know, it's next week mentality. You know, we forget about this one. We battled. It's next week. As the bailouts will do the same. For the next matchup here, we have the upset of the week with Dan Fornato's Vegas Sun taking out two-time champion Kyle Coughlin, 115.84 to 81.2. Coughlin, you know, banged up with injuries and Michael Thomas punching people in bye weeks. Lave Bell not playing on the Chiefs till next week. Latavius Murray on bye. Hunter Henry on bye. You know, really, you know, and then not starting Fulgham, you know, when he says that he's going to start him all week long. So a couple managerial deficiencies there. But, you know, it really starts, you know, you look at the trade that these two made. Coughlin earlier in the year trading ticket Matt Ryan for Julian Edelman. As you see here, Matt Ryan goes off for 31.64. Julian Edelman with 3.32. Edelman just can't seem to figure it out right now. Whereas I guess DeAndre Swift can, as he puts up 116 yards and two touchdowns. Ronald Jones numbers right there, giving DeAndre Swift 25.8. So, you know, Coughlin getting super unlucky with Matt Ryan and DeAndre Swift combining for 56 points. It doesn't help that Coughlin only had 81.22. Just, you know, those San Fran running backs just can't seem to figure it out. You know, Mostert with another great game, but getting injured again. Hopkins almost, you know, he had two receptions for 73 yards. He was so close to breaking it to the house. That would put his numbers up. DJ Shark just being super annoying right now, inconsistent. So Tucker, you know, 16, you always had Justin Tucker for Coughlin. So Coughlin's going to be just fine, though. He's now 3-3 in the league. You know, he's right where he wants to be. It's one, you know, yeah, you don't ever want to lose to a team that's 0-5, but at the end of the day, ticket was due. And you know, like we said, you never want to play Coughlin coming off a loss. You know, just has that Aaron Rodgers mentality. So look for Coughlin to bounce back next week. I'm not too worried about him. You know, good win for ticket, happy to get on the board, but Coughlin will be just fine. Let's go to another matchup here, gross matchup here, just based on the numbers. We have the Minneapolis Mike Caputos taking the L to Ethan Holman, 93.88 to 87.7. Holman grinding out yet another, well, he usually grinds out a close loss, but finally turning the tables and grinding out a close win. Where it came down to Monday night, the Caputos had Zane Gonzalez and Holman had CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb was able to eke out Zane Gonzalez. And Clyde, even though Clyde had a good game on Monday at 18.9, it was not enough to defeat Ethan Holman, as Aaron Rodgers with the 3.8 spot, and Brady with the 14.64 spot on the bench is the decisive factor here. Holman now 2-4, you know, starting to get cocky. It's the way Holman rolls. He loves being 0-4. You know, or 1-4. You know, he loves being 0-6 and making the playoffs. So this is a guy that knows how to come back from shitty starts to the season. So as Holman likes to say, you can't count Holman out. And he's finally catching a break here. You know, before this week, he actually had the third most points in the league. So this week, even only scoring 93 points, was able to get that W versus a good Minneapolis Mike Caputo's squad. You know, Caputo's, you know, tough loss for them as, you know, They needed a win here, and they didn't get it. You know, 3-3 now. You know, it's, they're going to be okay. They're going to recover, but never want to take an L to Holman, especially when he's trying to get hot. So Minneapolis will figure it out, but what I hate to say it, but look out for Ethan Holman, everybody. You know, he's right. You know, he's one game out of a playoff spot right now with being 2-4. So look out for Ethan Holman. He's coming, guys. He is coming. Another huge matchup here. We have Bout That Action taking on 69ers featuring Nick and Madison. Bout That Action gets a huge 178.54 win to 104.4 Luke Boyd team. Bout That Action coming off a loss to the Saloons last week. Obviously pissed off with his performance. Really takes it to Luke. Don't want to play Bout That Action coming off a loss. Let me tell you, that was his first loss last year. responds with a 180-point performance. An insane production there. You know, Lamar performing with 28. Derrick Henry with 40. Justin Jefferson with 35. Younghoo Koo with 20. You're not going to compete with that. So, it was a tough week for Boyd, who, you know, put up some decent numbers. Watson with 32. But Madison with 3.5. Cooper Kupp, 2.6. Dropping a touchdown. Mark Andrews, 3.1. That's not going to get it done. So, the 69ers leaving a door open for the rest of his division, like teams like Ethan Holman, the Centipedes, who are both 2-4, not out of it yet. But about the action with a huge statement win, now making it so himself, the Bailouts, and the Saloons are all 5-1, all in the West Division. So it's going to be a showdown the rest of the year with seeding. So everyone's going to have to keep winning in order to get – everyone wants that bye week. So some huge weeks coming up here. You know, I'd rather prefer to be on the, you know, the side without those – without the Bailouts and – about the action, but still have half the season left. Lots of roster and league changes to be made. So about the action with a huge win over the commish. Commish needing to bounce back next week. Otherwise, you know, he has home. He has Ethan Holman right on his tail. The last matchup here, just an abominable, grossest matchup I've ever seen. The McGee's Human Centipede taking out Big Sam, who did not start a defense. He picked up a defense. He picked up the Carolina defense, but did not start him in his lineup this week. It was a 75.42 to 64.78 win for Nasser. I mean, a huge win for Nasser. He needed a W. Kuhn just seems to be, you know, tanking the season for draft picks. I don't know what he's doing. I can't believe he picked up a defense and then did not start him. So I don't know, you know, he must have just never checked his lineup this week. We'll see if Kuhn ever starts a defense again, because right now it just says empty in his slate. So we will see the changes Big Sam makes. I hope he doesn't start a defense this week because he is playing me, but I'm sure he'll slide one in. You know, I honestly take that back. I hope he starts a defense because I don't like playing one man down. I feel like that just kind of like, if I were to somehow lose, I'd just be like, whoa, I can't believe I lost to a team without a defense. But Big Sam, you know, he still had, you know, he most of his players are healthy now. So if he actually starts starting them, I think he'll be okay. So this leads into the power rankings for end of week 6, start of week 7. We have at number 10, none other than Big Sam. Big Sam has been hovering at the 9 range because, you know, Mr. Pastuovic cannot get a win. But that finally changed this week with Tickett beating Kyle Coughlin and moving himself to the number 10 spot. So Kuhn, after winning his first week, has now dropped 5 straight. So Kuhn has now taken the reins of the number 10 spot in the league, being 1-5. So Big Sam with some work to do, trending downwards to the Fick Bowl position. So we'll see how Big Sam responds. But not looking good for Big Sam, landing himself at number 10. At number 9, we have Mr. Nick Pastuovic, Dan Fernando's Vegas son, moving up one spot in the power rankings, being 1-5, but getting that W against Kyle Coughlin. Huge win for Tickett. You know, who knows? Can Tickett make the bounce back here? Can Tickett pull an 0-6 Ethan Holman team to make the playoffs? We shall see. Don't let Tickett get hot. Tickett moves to number 9. At number 8, we have Human Centipede. Human Centipede with a win over Kuhn last week. I wouldn't say, you know, with Kuhn only putting up 64 and Nasser putting up 76, he might only feel blessed after this. I don't know if he feels great about it, but a win is a win. He needed a win to avoid being 1-5, keeping his playoff hopes alive. So nonetheless, Nasser not out of the playoff hunt yet. Only a game out with, you know, Luke being 3-3 in that division. So Mike Nasser, number 8, 2-4. At number 7, This is where things get interesting because you know what? You have Ethan Holman coming off a win. You have Luke Boyd coming off a loss. But regardless of that, at 7, it's still Ethan Holman at 2-4. You know, I can't put a 2-4 team right now ahead of a 3-3 team. Even after beating Coughlin, which was a great win. After beating Nato, which is a huge win. But we're keeping Holman at number 7 for now. He still has work to do. Another win next week will move Holman into the playoff projection, so he will definitely get the move up next week if he wins, but I cannot move Holman past 7. Say all you want, Holman, but honestly, I'm just trying to give you a better chance because you tend to do better when proven that, or when people are trying to prove you wrong. So number 7, Ethan Holman. At number 6, we have Luke Boyd, the commish. The commish with a tough loss. It's about that action. Not a bad loss, about that action. Would have beaten anybody this week. But, you know, I'm still putting him at number 6. You know, I'm worried about his team right now with no Saquon, no Eckler. He's going to need more guys to produce. You know, he has Madison in him right now, but what happens when Dalvin Cook comes back? So Luke is at number 6 right now. He's still in the playoffs, but he needs a win next week. Otherwise, the commissioner is trending downwards. So Luke Boyd coming in at number 6. At number 5, we have Big Daddy for 3, Kyle Coughlin. Bad loss to Nick Pastuvik. Tough loss. You know, ticket having guys produce that haven't been producing all season. But, you know, I still believe in Coughlin's team. You know, him being 3-3, you know, with him coming off a loss, I take it that he's probably going to win next week to be 4-3. As long as Coughlin makes the playoffs, that's all he cares about. He doesn't care who's in his way. So still a very scary team with a bad loss, but he'll move on next week. He'll check the he'll go back to the drawing board, figure it out. Kyle Coughlin, number 5. At number 4, we have the Minneapolis Mike Caputos. Caputo's coming off a tough loss to Holman. Still holding that 3-3 record. So based off these rankings this week, a couple of these teams lost to, you know, teams that were 0-5 or 1-4. And people might question, well, why aren't they getting more love? It's just, you know, it's because it's 1 week. And yes, it's a good win for those teams that were 1-4, 0-5. But at the end of the day, the teams that won or that lost are still the better teams, in my opinion. I still trust them to, you know, to perform this season. So I'm not going to punish them after having... Everyone has a bad week. So I'm not going to punish you for having a bad week. I still think the Caputos have a very, you know, strong team that will compete for a championship. So even though losing to Holman definitely doesn't feel good, only putting up 87 points, I trust that Nato will rebound next week in his matchup. So I'm keeping Nato at number 4. But definitely, you know, needs to perform next week. Otherwise, he'll have consequences in the power rankings. At number 3, we have the Sukun Saloons. The Saloons losing to the Bailouts with their first loss of the year last week. You know, I didn't want to move myself down 2 spots here. But with Lebo putting up 178 points, and the Bailouts taking the Saloons out, I thought it was only fair to move the Saloons to number 3. Yes, I did beat Lebo. So, you know, some think, oh, we'll just move the Saloons down to number 2 instead of 3. But, you know, we're all 5-1. I'm going based off, you know, I will base, you know, the top 3 of us teams off current weeks. And, you know, my teams didn't perform this week. You know, I had a couple bye week issues, but couldn't figure it out. You know what? I'm happy. I don't want to be number 1 team. I feel like that's a tough spot to be at. So I'm putting myself at number 3. I think that Lebo, Bothard Action, and Bailouts are deserving of the number 1 and 2 spots this week. So that's where Luke Liebert comes in. Bothard Action at number 2 with a huge week against the commissioner last week, putting up 180 points. You know, if his boys are putting up numbers like that, they are a force to be reckoned with. They are, I know you don't want to play Bothard Action in the playoffs. Which leads none other. I promised the bailouts if they get a W off the Saloons this week that he would get the number one spot, and that's exactly what happened. The bailouts, after starting 0-1 with five straight wins, dipping from 1-6 back to 1 in the power rankings, is Mr. Matthew Kleinhans. So Kleinhans holds the number one spot in the power rankings right now in the Fichtner Cup. So congratulations to Kleinhans over a huge win last week. Let's see if he can hold it up for the weeks to come. But now it leads into the preview matchups for next week, week 7. A huge week for many teams. So let's start with my matchup, the Saloons, going up against Big Sam, who looks like he's starting a full lineup right now. So he must have been listening to the podcast. He's tired of the hate. I mean, well-deserving hate, as he's not been starting, proper lineups. But it looks like for once he is starting a full team against the Saloons next week. So going to be a battle. I'm still projected 126.8. He's projected 115.2. But Big Sam is playing his top guys. He has Davante Adams and Julio Jones in, along with Mike Evans and Josh Allen, who's going up against the Jets, along with Singletary. So could be a big week for Big Sam. I'm going to have to, I can't treat it like any other week. So it's going to be a battle, Big Sam, but I'm coming for you. I need a bounce back win, and I'm taking the Saloons in this matchup in a rather high scoring affair. A huge matchup right here. The next matchup is Big Daddy Blank for three going up against Bout That Action, who has, Lamar Jackson on bye. Miles Sanders is going to be out. So could be a week for Coughlin to take advantage here. Don't want to play Coughlin coming off a loss. And you know what? This could be just the type of statement win Big Daddy is looking for. So I am taking Big Daddy for three to get the dub against Bout That Action. You know me, I've been hyping up Bout That Action all this year, but you know what? I think it's Big Daddy's time for a huge statement win. Big Daddy takes this in a barn burner. Another matchup here, we have the Minneapolis Mike Caputos going up against Mike Nassar's Human Centipede / McGee. I'm taking Nato here, coming off a loss, really needs a W. Nassar getting a, somewhat favorable win over Big Sam, only putting up 76 points. I think Nato gets a bounce back win here. I always talk about don't want to play Coughlin coming off a loss. You also don't want to play Nato coming off a loss. He's very consistent in the fact that he likes to stay 500 and above. He's 3-3 right now. I think that Nato takes this in a fairly decent margin of victory. A matchup here that should be interesting is the 69ers featuring Nick and Madison and the Dotson bailouts. The bailouts having, Fitzmagic and Gaskin on bye. So he's going to have to start Kenyon Drake and A.J. Brown, it looks like, which will be fine. I think that's a good replay, as A.J. Brown's finally showing up along with Kenyon Drake. So Dotson should be able to fill out those spots just fine. It's a make or break week, I think, for Luke here. He has Mark Andrews and Madison on bye, with Eckler being out. He'll probably, I don't know what he's going to do here. He has some, pretty decent receivers with Lockett on the bench. Will he have to start Leonard Fournette and his running back? It's going to be interesting. I'm taking the bailouts in this. I see them continuing their streak, going to 6-1 here. But I think it's going to be a grind out week. The bailouts have a grind out week consistently every week. I think this week continues to be the same trend, but I don't know if the commissioner has the firepower to take out the bailouts and their 5-1 record. And for the last match of the week, we have Ethan Holman going up against Dan Fernandez, Vegas Sun, two of the hottest teams in the league this year, or this week, I guess, both coming off big wins for themselves. This is a huge matchup because this might be the matchup of the week, being the fact that if Holman wins, he's one step closer to making the playoffs. If Tickett wins, he's 2-5 along with Holman. And if Nassar loses, they're all 2-5. So that keeps Tickett in the mix. And especially if Luke loses to go 3-4, I think that, Tickett's right there. So if Tickett wins, and people in other matchups lose, I think that, you know, Tickett has a chance. I don't see that happening, though. I'm taking the, you know, as hard as this is for me to say, I'm taking Ethan Holman to get a win this week. I think that DeAndre Swift, even though he's going up against Atlanta, doesn't put up the same numbers he does last week. With Zach Ertz being out, Devontae Parker on bye, it's going to be a tough week for Tickett to rebound, so he's going to have to find a tight end along with another flex position. So, I mean, right now his options are Curtis Samuel or Deion Lewis on the bench, so maybe he'll pick somebody up. But Holman's also, you know, he has Indianapolis DM bye along with Blankenship, so he's going to find a kicker and a defense. So I'm taking Ethan Holman here. I think it's going to be a good matchup, though. I don't think it blows him out, but I say he wins by a 5-10 margin. So that's my week 7 preview right there. Stay tuned for the next preview, because once week 8 gets started, man, it's going to be a fight till the end. So a huge week for a lot of teams. I'm excited to see what plays out for the weeks to come. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Big week of sports this week. We have the World Series starting tonight. We got college football, NFL, week 7, you know, for fantasy sports. So lots to tune in for. Grab a seat on the couch after work. Tune in. You won't regret it. I hope to see you guys next week, as it was a pleasure, as always, doing business with you all. I hope you guys all have a good rest of your night, and I will see you for next week's show. Riddle Daddy is out.